my time, isn't it? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't want you to start playing something and I'd have to sing. That would be tough. Oh, let me encourage you to take your copy of God's Word and find with me the book of James. And we're looking in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. We're looking on the subject of look for the hook. Look for the hook. We've been talking about trials, which is the first 12 verses in James chapter 1. But now we're going to move into that of temptation. See what James says about this matter of temptation. Well, I do echo that, Mike, glad you got those legs. And I told him, you know, Baptist, we can pat one foot. What happens when we pat both feet? We're dancing. And I said, but if he wants to do the boot scoot boogie, that is all right with me. James chapter 1, verse 13 and following, we find these words, "Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Father, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, even now as we look into your word and then in a few, just a little bit later in the service when we observe the Lord's Supper, Father, we want to do it in a clean and worthy manner. May we find cleansing through the word of God today. We love you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reggie White, who played at the University of Tennessee, was All-American, went on to an illustrious professional career, All-Pro, died at the tender age of 43. He was a committed Christian, preached the gospel, but when he was playing professional football, he was wearing out in one particular game an inexperienced offensive lineman. He was beating him, going around him, sacking the quarterback. And after one particular play, as he was walking back to his huddle, this offensive lineman that he was wearing out was struggling to get up. Reggie White extended a hand to give him a hand up and said to him, he said, "Jesus loves you." He said, "I love you." But he said, "You better learn how to block." Friend, let me remind you, I love you. Jesus loves you. But there's some things about temptation that it's imperative that we understand and that we learn if we're going to live the type of Christian life that God would desire for us to live. When we talk about temptations, the word temptation and the word trial in the original language is the same word. The way we interpret it is based upon the context. For instance, in these first 12 verses of James chapter 1, he's talking about trials. He brings that to a conclusion by saying in verse 12 about that crown that is going to be for that person that stands victorious in the face of temptation, in the face of trials. But trials are allowed by God. And they're given to make us strong. Now, that the Bible says about the Christian warrior over in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The writer of Proverbs says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Now, I wish that God could grow me up and God could grow you up without difficulty, without trial. Friend, when trials come our way, and they're allowed or either sent by God, they're given to strengthen our life. And when we deal with those in a correct way, looking unto the Lord, we make strides in our Christian life. Temptation is different. Temptation does not come from God. Temptation comes from Satan. And the purpose of that temptation is to weaken our life and to ruin and to wreck our testimony. Now, the Bible says this about temptation over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And what Paul is saying is you're never off duty. This Christian life, this thing is 24/7. And he said, never let your guard down. That's why the Bible says over in Ephesians 4, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And so, Paul says, don't let your guard down. He goes on to say in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Now, none of us can say today, you know, brother preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the temptations that I'm receiving from Satan. Oh, yes, I do. So does everybody else. We're not tempted in any way that is not common to man. But he gives us a word of encouragement because he goes on to say that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so temptations are going to come. It's how we deal with them. God makes the way of escape if we're willing to take that way. Now, temptations really are dealt with in one of three ways. Some just let it happen. I mean, whatever is going to be is going to be, and eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, you know, just let it have its way in your life. Maybe you're like that person that said, I can overcome anything but temptation. they give into it. The second way is to fight it in the energy of the flesh. Now, I'm grateful for every type of recovery program. I've told you before that when I was at First Batesville, we had Celebrate Recovery, and that was a Christ-centered program, but a lot of recovery programs, it depends not upon the Lord, but it depends upon the energy of the flesh. And now, people have overcome addiction, and I'm grateful for that, but it's hard. It's hard when you do it with your own effort. But there's a third way, and I think it's the best way. And it's that of surrendering daily and submitting to the Holy Spirit. Letting him fill you, walking in the Spirit, as the Bible says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, as we look at this today, and we'll move through this quickly, we're going to build our thoughts around really three main divisions. First of all, there is a definite possibility. Look what he says again in verse 13. He says, let no man say when he is tempted. Now, what James does not say is let no man say if he is tempted. It's when. Friends, temptation, that inducement to evil, and by the way, temptation in and of itself is not a sin. It's what you do with that temptation. But he says when and not if. And James is probably writing this because there were some Jews in those days who were using what we call deductive reasoning. And what they were saying was this, well, you know, after all, God created me, God made me, and so God must have given me these desires, and if I fall prey to these desires, and if I give in to those desires, it's God's fault. Well, James says that's ridiculous. He said, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. Friend, that lie is as old as the Garden of Eden. You remember when sin entered into the world? What did Adam say? Well, Adam said, well, you know, that woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. You know, it's Eve's fault. Well, Eve said, hey, don't lay this on me. Eve said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So it's not my fault, it's the serpent. So Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And I guess the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. So anyway. That's bad. That's bad. I know. Humor me. John tells us, all sin and every temptation falls into one of three categories. You know, the Bible is really simple. I mean, we complicate that which is simple. John says this in 1 John 2. He says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, what John is telling us is really that every temptation you face, every sin you commit, that I commit, will fall under one of these three categories. The lust of the flesh, that deals with our affections. That's the desire to do. The lust of the eyes, that's the desire to have. That speaks of our attractions. But then there's the pride of life. That's the desire to be. That speaks of our ambitions. Let me remind you, the devil knows how to bait your hook. He knows how to bait your hook. Well, if it's the lust of the flesh, maybe it's that desire to do, to gratify the lust of the flesh. But maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, that's not me. Well, then he'll dangle the lust of the eyes. That's the desire to have. You know what the old adage is, what does it take to satisfy somebody? Always a little bit more. You know, I used to read Better Homes and Garden, but I quit because everybody had a better home and a better garden than I did. And so I don't read that anymore. But maybe it's not the lust of the flesh. Maybe it's not the lust of the eyes. But it's the pride of life. It's a desire to be somebody. I mean to be recognized. I mean to say to the world, here I am. It's all about me. One of those three areas is what every sin that you and I confess going to fall into one of those three categories. So, James tells us, he says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. But there's also a divine impossibility here because, first of all, it's impossible to tempt God with evil. That's what he says. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Friend, you know why you and I succumb to temptation? Because Satan has found an itch that we want to scratch. Satan has found something that gets our attention. Well, he tried that with the Lord Jesus. You go back to Matthew chapter 4 on the Mount of Temptation, there were three distinct temptations, and they fall into those three categories that we mentioned over in Matthew chapter 4, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, and you know, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, had been tempted by the devil, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. That's an understatement, because Jesus was all God and all man. But the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. It's a lust of the eyes. Something to do. Well, that didn't work. Jesus used the word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he pulled out a second one. And it's the pride of life. Because he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you and let their hands... and their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, you'll not tempt the Lord your God. And then there was the lust of the eyes. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, all these kingdoms I'll give you. And Jesus said that you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. You see, temptation was presented to Jesus. The Bible said He was tempted in all things as we are. But He faced temptation not to see if He would sin, but to show and to prove that He wouldn't sin. There was a story told of in the early days of the building of the Union Pacific Railroad. There was an elaborate trestle bridge that was built across a large canyon in the west. And when it was completed, they wanted to test it out. And the builder loaded railroad cars and had them drive that train to the middle of that bridge. Somebody looked at him and asked him, they said, are you trying to break this bridge? He said, no. He said, I'm just proving that the bridge won't break. It's impossible to tempt God with evil, but it's also impossible for God to tempt man with evil. You see, because He goes on to tell us in that passage of Scripture in James, not only does He tell us that God is not tempted by evil, but let no one say that He Himself tempts anyone. But don't blame a temptation on God. You say, well, now wait a minute. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? Does that mean that God leads us into temptation? Not at all. What that prayer simply means, you and I ought to pray this every day. God, keep me as far away from evil as possible. God, don't allow me to go down a path that I would be tempted. God, guard my life and guide my life. I heard of a very wealthy lady that was looking to hire a driver. There were three men that she was talking to. And she took them out back and she showed them her expensive car that one of them would be taking her around in. And there was a large brick wall. And she asked them this question. She said, how close could you get my car to that wall without scratching it? Well, one guy said, I'm so good, I could park that car in less than a foot and it wouldn't scratch it. Second man said, I can do better than that. I can get it within 6 inches. It wouldn't scratch it. The third man said, I don't know how close I could get, but if I'm hired, I'll keep that car as far away from that wall as possible. Who do you think got the job? It is impossible for God to be tempted with evil, and He tells us it's impossible for God to tempt man with evil. But let's look at the responsibility, a direct responsibility for this of sin and temptation. James tells us where the responsibility lies, because he says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. Remember, temptation is an inducement, an enticement to sin. Temptation, again, is not a sin, because the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And the Bible said that He that had no sin became sin for us. So we know that Jesus was, Satan tried to tempt Him, but we know that He did not give in to that temptation. Do you notice in these four verses, Satan's never mentioned? Never mentioned. Why is that? Well, the reason is he's telling us how temptation operates. Now, if we were to go back to the origin, we'd go back to the Garden of Eden, we'd see Satan was behind that. But again, James is telling them, this is where temptation comes from. Satan gives you that opportunity. Friend, that's what temptation is. Temptation is an enticement and an opportunity for sin. Now, it's up to you and it's up to me whether we're going to give in or not. Do you know Satan can't make you sin? All he can do is provide an opportunity. But he can't make you sin. He uses, when he talks about this, he uses a picture of temptation, and he pictures someone fishing. He says each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You know what fishing is? Fishing is just giving fish an opportunity. It's just presenting fish an opportunity to be caught. You go out fishing, and or you get on the lake, you get some live bait, you cast out, and well, they're not interested in that live bait. So you reach into the tackle box, you get some crankbait, you get an artificial lure. And hence the name, because you're trying to lure them for the hook. Satan knows how to bait our hook. He knows how to bait your hook. And so he's trying to lure us. There's that opportunity. Then there's that process, because, friend, what that is, there's an outside opportunity and there is an inside desire. Where does that come from? It comes from the old nature. You know, when you got saved, you became a new creation in Christ, but the old you is still there. Bible calls it the flesh. Bible calls it self. It's the you were before you got saved. Now you became a new creation, but that old nature is there. That's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. There is a constant battle that goes on in my life, that goes on in your life. And that battle is whether I'm going to submit and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or I'm going to let King Tommy have his way in my life. But what happens? There's that enticement. There's that opportunity. There's that old nature, that inward desire. And they merge. And now that temptation has become a sin. How does it result? What does it result in? Well, the Bible says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Somebody's called it the devil's LSD. Lust, sin, and then death. When I was growing up, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, CBS, I'd watch the Flip Wilson show. You remember Flip Wilson? My favorite part was when he'd dress up and he'd become a shim. I don't know if he was a he or a she, or I just called him a shim, but he'd dress up as Miss Geraldine. And there would always be some indiscretion that Miss Geraldine would get involved in. And when confronted with that, Miss Geraldine would say, "The devil made me do it." You know, that's good comedy, but that's poor theology. Because the devil can't make you sin. What he's going to present you with today, tomorrow, and the rest of the days of your life is simply opportunities. Opportunities to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Friend, the one that casts the deciding vote is you. The one that casts the deciding vote is me. Well, how do we overcome it? Well, if you look in verse 13, he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted." Now look in verse 15. He says, "Then when desires have conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." Friend, if you will deal with the when, you won't have to deal with the then. Let me say that again. If you will deal with the when it comes, you won't have to deal with the then, which is the repercussions of the temptation, that opportunity, merging with that inner desire that creates sin. But how do we deal with the temptation? Let me give you two things very quickly. Number one is salvation. Now, before you and I were saved, I hated that my sin hurt somebody. But I had to can't help it. I couldn't help it. Why? Because I was lost. I didn't have the Spirit of God living inside of me. I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. I didn't experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit about my sin. I was dead in trespasses and sins. But oh, something happened as a 20-year-old man when God stepped out of glory and stepped into this life. And I became a new creation. My body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. I became an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I become a part of the family of God. I'm in Christ. He's in me. And so now I've got weapons. Now I've got spiritual unction and an anointing and an empowering through salvation. But friend, every day there has to be a submission. Not only salvation, that's relationship, there's got to be fellowship. There's got to be a submission to the Lord. Salvation is for eternity, but submission is day by day. Yes, moment by moment. That's the first thing in the morning before I have my quiet time, got to get a cup of coffee. I don't see how you can read your Bible without coffee, but hey, that's me. That's me. I knew Bobby would like that. That's me. But I have to do as Paul said. I've got to attend a funeral. And that funeral is me. I've got to die. I've got to reckon my death. Because Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And so I take the members of my body and I say, God, here's my mind, what little it is, I give it to you. I give you my eyes, I give you my ears, I give you my mouth, I give you my hands, my feet, my desires. I give that to you. I reckon myself to be dead to the old and alive unto you. You know, your temptations may be greater now that you're saved. Because you'd walk the same way as Satan. You didn't lockstep with him before you got saved. But now, you're on a collision course. Remember the old adage, if Satan's not bothering you, you better check your heart. Maybe going the same way he's going. But he gives us victory. Sweet victory that is found in Jesus Christ. And you know, I found victory as a 20-year-old man out in the middle of a hayfield 6 miles east of New Albany, Mississippi, and I bowed my head, bowed my heart, trusted Christ to be my Savior. And the greatest miracle occurred right there in the middle of that hayfield. Went to my pastor. Soon after that, God called me into ministry. A long time ago. In May, May's just about done. It was 1976. That's 50 years ago. 50 years ago. I must have been real young then. But anyway, 50 years ago. But you know, that happened 50 years ago. But you know, day by day, I try to keep my testimony up to date. I look into His Word. I pray. Seek to stay in fellowship with the Lord. And I work on that. That relationship is established, but it won't stay in fellowship with you. And friend, you'll find when you're saved, when you're totally submitted, God will give you victory. And victory in Jesus be more than just a song that we sing. It'll be an experience that you experience. I want you to bow your heads now, if you would, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a couple of moments, we'll stand, begin to sing a hymn of invitation. You're here this morning, if you've never by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ be your personal Savior. And I don't want anybody to go to hell. Jesus loved you so much that he experienced the hell of the cross so that you could have a new life in Christ. On the authority of the Word of God, today can be the day of salvation.